Okay. Morning, Rabbi Sai. So we are talking about Aina, and we talked a lot of the exceptions of Aina. So the exceptions we talked about was if there's das, and if the moicher knows, and if you're not trying, and the lokeach knows, and you're not trying to sell it in the conventional ways. So the other inyan I want to talk about is the exception to Aina that's listed said in the Mishnah on Daf and Vav Amud Aleph in Bava Metzia. So the Gemara said, Mishnah says, "Ha'avodim v'ashtarais." So these are three things that there's no ayna. Avodim is a slave, a shtar, if you sell a document, or sell a shtar that says in like an IOU, and karka. Okay, now each one of these is very, very negiah lamaisa to understand what does it mean ein lam ayna. Why does it not have Aina? And is there any ways or cases that they do have Aina? Now, first of all, what's the source that these things don't have Aina? I mean, not immediately. The Tanur Rabbanan, V'chisim kuru memkor la'amisecha, oikonoi miyad amisecha. It says, if you buy something miyad amisecha from the hand of your friend, so dovanik miyad liyad, yatzur. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah, the Pasuk says that you don't have Aina by Karka. Now, despite the fact that you don't have the Gemara says it's a Svara, despite the fact that the Gemara says it's a Svara, that there's no, it, despite the fact that the Gemara brings a Pasuk to say that there's no Aina in Karka, if you sell real estate and real estate transactions, there is no Aina. However, the Rashbam in Bava Basra, Daf Samech Aleph, and the Rashba in Bava Kama both say that really at the core of it, it's a Svara. And the Svara is essentially that Karka is worth whatever it is that you're willing to pay for it. In other words, till now we had this problem, which is we didn't really know how to explain how to figure out the market value. So we've been tiptoeing around that issue the whole sugya. How do you determine the market value? But the answer is that there's basically always going to be comparables. Because, you know, at the end of the day, this suit is at that store and at this store. At the end of the day, this gallon of milk is being sold in two places. So there's a way to make a proper comp and basically determine the price. But by karka, by real estate, the definition of it is based on where it is, and therefore there's no two places that are the same. So there's really basically, if a person's willing to buy this item because he needs that karka, then the Torah understands that the legavi that there's no aina. Okay, that's the Rashba and the Rashbam say the svara why there's no aina. However, Tosfos argues and Tosfos says, why are we trying to look for svaras? It's not based on svara, it's a pasuk, and that's it, it's yes, a pasuk. And Tosfos brings a raya to that, because otherwise, what does avodim have to do with it? Avodim is like karka. Avodim is only like karka if it's a straight xeris akasim, avodim is like karka. But if we're trying to say a svara, who says that avodim have that svara? Now, you could say maybe avodim do have that svara, because also there's no two people that do the same thing type of work. But like, it would be a little bit of a stretch. And therefore, Tosfos argues on that. Okay? Now, is there any nafkamina? It's very nice sources back and forth. Similarly, by the way, is the Sefer HaChinuch who says it's based on mechila. Based on mechila type of idea, people are willing to overlook it. Okay? Okay. So, is there any nafkamina? Thank you. Is there any nafkamina between the reasoning why there's no Aina by Karka? Okay? And it turns out that the nafkamina probably is very, very, very large. Is there any nafkamina between the two? So there's a famous Ramban, which basically which changes the entire sugya. Okay? The Ramban says, and the Ramban is brought by Rabbi Kiv Eiger in the Shulchan Aruch. This halach is brought in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Chav Zayin, Sif. Chavtes. It says Eilu Dvarim She'ein LaMoina HaAvodim Ashtar Svar Karkois. Rabbi Kiviger says, look at the Ramban Ala Torah. So the Ramban says the following. The Ramban is okay. It says Vav. I'm going to read some of the Lashon of the Ramban here. He says, I believe the following. If somebody purposely does oina even on karka, so I'm selling a condo and I know the market value, but I don't care. I'm selling it for double the price. I'm selling it for 30% more than the market value. You want it, buy it, not. Bein b'metaltlin, bein b'karka. If you're purposely doing that, even in karka, he brings a raya from Yovel. So he says, etc. You're over the lav, says the Ramban. Etc. But besides that, you're over an Isser of Ainah. You're over an Isser in the Torah if you do this. Besides that, you're over an Isser, there's another part of the Sugya of Ainah. There's a whole thing. You can demand it back. You can move out to the Mekach. There's different levels and different dinim about the monetary ramifications of Ainah. Could be you could get your money back. You could even dissolve the entire sale. Could be. So he said, that is what the miyut of Ainah is on. The miyut of Karka is only on the dine mominus of it. It's only on the claim to the money. You can't get your money back. It's like you're a moichel the money. But the actual Isser, the guy who overcharging, is over the Isser of Ainah, even by Karka. That's what the Ramban says. So he says, it's Osir. But people, the Torah understood that there's no claim to the money because on karka, people would rather just be marshal the money and keep the karka than go through the whole thing. So the Torah doesn't allow the tviya on the money. But the iser is kayim even on karka. Rabbi Kiviger brings down this Ramban on now. The smat, okay? So what am I trying to say? We learn a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, ain't an ala karka. Okay, so now the real estate guys, phew. And I know the karka, so now I can charge whatever I want. And there's not going to be any claims of Ainah. Or back to, so now don't come look over my shoulder, 16%, 20%. No, I can do whatever I want. And then from the first Shulchan Aruch, there's no Ainah the karka. And I'm not sure to the market price.
It goes on conditions also of services related to karka.
So I want to get to services in a moment. We'll get to that. So first we have to deal with what about building karka? Because is building metaltlin, is building karka? Right? You're putting cement down. So, but karka itself. So Lamaisa, Rabbi Kiviger brings down the Ramban. Is, no, of course it's Osir. You're not going to rip someone off even on karka.
Swear
is not because of the fuel. Oh, so L'chaira, the Ramban is going to learn that the Svara was that people are moichel the claim, but they're not moichel the avla that you did to them. So it's a mechil on the claim, and that's the pshat. L'chora, that's what I was trying to get to. If you learn that it's more like that's the price, there's no set price. It could be it'll be mutter. And if you learn it's a gziyas kosov, also could be it'll be mutter. According to the Ramban, it seems like it's awesome. Now, even if you don't learn, so that's the nafkamina of the reason. If it's a gziras akasav, l'chor, it's mutter. The Torah says it's not Ainah. But if you learn like this Ramban, it's a svara, so it's a svara only on the claim, on the monetary claim. It's not a svara on the isser. The isser is still awesome. Now, even if you go not like that, the sma brings down that it's also as knevas das anyway. So it'll be usher, probably, but Kinevas Das is not necessarily always Ainah, because maybe you spoke it out, or maybe you let the person know to some degree. But this is a very, very important nafkamina between the Svar and the Pasuk, okay? And like I said, Rabbi Kiviger brings it down, so this will make it awesome. Now, most of the cases of Ainah, we've been looking for cases of Ainah, most things that people run to, right away is real estate transactions. That's like, right? Now, the way we're learning now, you leave the Mishnah, real estate transactions is not part of the sugya. But now with the Ramban, it could be you still have to know. You don't want to be over this, sir. So you still have to know how you're going to determine the price. Is it a sixth? Are you allowed to go up to a sixth? Now, remember we spoke out that there's three levels of Aina. There's up to a sixth, which is considered Mechila. There's a sixth itself, which is at some claim of Aina. And then there's more than a sixth. You have a right to be dissolved the sale. So there's a Machlokes in the Rishonim, less than a sixth. Is that mutter or is that just as no claim? But Dov Khan, he says that by karka that you could be makel, since it's machlikas, if there's an isra altogether, less than a sixth would be mutter. So a sixth of the price is about 16%, right? So up to a little more than 10-15% of the price would seem like that's mutter l'chol adeis. That would be mutter. You don't have to be chush for the Ramban, b'chi agavna.
I
mean, we could be talking about that also. No, you have a developer selling. He made 20 houses. Okay, I mean that's not all cases. It's not. You know, you have developers selling new construction. You have all these things, and then you have people that are also business people selling their houses. Why is it how are you getting a price for it? Because they're all the same. There's two buildings right next to each other. You're saying the svar of karka, but basically, you're saying there's no comparables.
Yeah, two developers are building.
Okay, so obviously there's a rate. It came up with the price somehow.
Exactly.
Isn't the whole definition of real estate value what somebody's willing to pay for it?
Someone that's desperate or someone that's looking for a good deal?
It's on the market. What are you?
Okay, so I mean,
so
not necessarily. There is a market out there. And then there's a guy that walks in and you're like, oh, this guy is gonna take whatever I, you know.
You started off the class by saying that the two pieces of real estate can occupy.
I understand. No, so correct. That's the reason why some Rishonim say it's not awesome. But others are saying that's not really the reason. Really there is a price to karka. Just okay, you know what? I'll be quicker to be moichel by karka because I want it. Quicker than something else. But the seller who's taking advantage of the buyer is still taking advantage at the end of the day. Thank He's just forcing him to be Michael.
What's the actual halakha
control by the I'm saying Rabbi Kivega brings it down. So what we say about Rabbi Kivega. You don't start off with Rabbi Kivega usually, right?
So he brings it down.
He brings it down on the Shulchan Aruch. He says, karka ain loy oino. There's no oino by karka, which would seem like, look, pay whatever you want, that's the price. Says Rabbi Kivager, nechta v'tzidai haramban v'perish achomish v'ra'a, kosfu v'komokam halav oiver. So I'm saying, Rabbi Kivager is definitely telling us to we should think about the Ramban before we make a move.
Whatever type of issue it is, and the product about the houses is making not being whether or not you are an investor, whether you're an end user.
Well,
that's really big enough.
That maybe makes it after me who the seller is. That's what David is saying. Maybe who the seller is.
The buyer is an investor. The buyer is presumed. He's more knowledgeable. It's an investment. He's looking.
Okay, so maybe next week we'll discuss Tagar. There's also is it Yesh I know the Tagar or Ain I know the Tagar? A Tagar is a merchant. So are you Meshubit as a seller? To be concerned for the merchant, or look, you're an investor. Do your own research. You don't want to buy it, don't buy it. You do want to buy it. If you think it's a good deal. And you're willing to make the deal. You're not willing to do it, so I'll move on to the next guy. There is a svar, but we'll see how we paskin about Tagar. What? There is enough a svar of Tagar, but we have to see how we paskin about Tagar. Okay? Now, two very important, three, we have to add, well, there's a lot of protim here on Karka. Number one, Shailan Karka. Is there a limit? Even if you say that it's mutter, and you say there's no claim. Is there a limit? Says the Ramah, Hagah, V'yesh Oimrim. However, says the Ramah, which I think this Yeshurim is also going to be depend on which Svara we use to explain the limitation of Karka. Is it just a rule? Like you were saying, it's a rule, that's it, there's no one, or is it because based on people's, you know, Mechila? So he says, Yesh Oimrim, D'dafka ad Palga, Ava Yesem Yipalga, G'gon Shemachal Le'echad Yoisem Yishnaim, Have I know? You can't go more than double the price. Up past double the price, there is a na. Past double the price, there is a na. So you have a condo that's that the market price is 150 and you're selling it for 300, there is a na on that.
Is there a na if the buyer approaches a seller and offers a ridiculous amount of money for their property because it helps them have a contiguous...
That's a good question. So that has to do with Lididi Shavali. That's like a Lididi Shavali type of thing where he has a specific value in this that nobody else has. And you're not taking advantage. It's not like, you know, is that called taking advantage? Is that called Lididi Shavali? He's not desperate. He could move on without it. It's better for him. So he has a value that nobody else has, right? But, you know, and he's willing and he's willing to pay. He knows, you're saying, he knows the market value. So, first of all, we already said, if you speak out and say, look, the market value is this, you're willing to pay that? No problem. So if you speak it out, then we've already said that that's okay. But if you're not speaking it out,
you're going to come to the rabbi?
Because that's the regular sugya of Amanashi and Lachalaya, no. But if you're not speaking it out, why aren't you speaking it out? Because deep down you think, maybe he doesn't really realize how much he's overpaying, right? Even for what he needs, he doesn't realize how badly he's overpaying. Right? Because if you knew that he knows that he's overpaying when it's worth it for him, then you would just be totally upfront. And basically say, look, market value is 150. You have a special need. I'm not interested in selling. For you, it's worth it. I'll sell it to you for 300. So say that. Have that conversation. If you're not willing to have that conversation, it's probably because you don't really think he's being Michael all the way. So that's a problem. Okay, now even by karka, so double the price. The Rambam says, double the price. There is a na by karka. So let's think about that for a second. I think it depends on what the reason is, right? If it's al gzeiras hakasov, so the gzeiras hakasov is not limited to half price, double price. There's a gzeiras hakasov. The Torah says there's no na by karka. Why should it make a difference if it's double, triple the price? It doesn't make a difference. But if it's because of people's das or their attitude towards karka, people are willing to take the karka they want at the price sometimes, then there's a limit to that. And people, obviously, if he's paying double, it should be spoken out with him. Why are you paying double? Why are you willing to overpay so much? And maybe you'll realize it's because he doesn't realize what the market is. Oh, really? It's duh. Forget it. It's just not worth it for me. Right? So once it's double and the Ramah is saying that we're choshish, I would say that's a riot to the Ramban a little bit. It's a riot that it's really, it's not across the board. We're just, okay, exception to the rule, karka is out, okay? Now, there's a very interesting shaila. Some people in the room appreciate the shaila. A very interesting shaila that was sent to, I think it was the Kenya Tire. Well, what are the Achuva Sefer? This is brought down the shaila. It's pretty nageya, and it was by karka, but it really could apply to other things. And basically, there was a guy who had a big property for sale. And for years, he was trying to develop the property. And he could never develop the property because he couldn't be zoned for anything. Couldn't be zoned for anything useful. And so he put up the property for sale for much cheaper than what it was, than what he had bought it, or cheaper than what it's worth, because he can't really do anything with it. Now, you happen to have inside information that they're changing the zoning rules. And, within a few months after the closing, you'll be able to develop the property. You know, you have that inside information. So here, it's not ona on the buyer. Here, it's ona on the seller, right? The buyer is doing ona to the seller in this case, right? Because the buyer is underpaying for something that's really technically worth more. So does he have to disclose to the seller this information before buying it, or can you just buy it for the price that the seller's putting it up as? Right? The seller's putting up a price based on something, and I'm doing like, no, I'm only willing to buy it because I really know that it's going to be worth more. Right? So what does Olam hold about this?
The seller bought it. It was a power play for him. He figured I could do anything to see with it. Do I have to continue to educate him? I mean, he was smart enough, sophisticated enough to buy it, thinking this. Now he thinks he can't. You know, Bahar, maybe you can in general. Do I have to say, hey, by the way, I know a very good attorney that has a lot of influence there. You need to use this attorney. So to what end do I have to educate another investor in what they're doing? Right? As a matter of fact, you should know it. And you know, this is Vita, I love this. When you go to code enforcement and you say to them, I didn't know I couldn't do a rap show. I didn't know I couldn't just my swell. They tell you, are you a citizen of, you know, of the state of this? Are you a resident of Miami Dade, North Miami Beach? Then it's a mirror to you that you know you go on Blue Code. The lockers are there. It's assumed it's straight out. And therefore, you should have known it. And therefore, you got to pay the fine.
Right.
Do brokers have the responsibility to disclose?
Separate share. So this tshuva sefer wanted to make a distinction, which I think the place can go with this distinction, which basically is if it's information that you know, but it's not really public information, you don't have to disclose it to him because that doesn't really change the value of the property objectively. The property is still worth whatever the appraisal is. The fact you know something that no one else knows didn't change the value be'etzim.
It's because no one knows it because it didn't happen
yet. It's something that you're in the know of. That doesn't change the value of the chayfetz. It's davar shel bo'al olam, and probably it could be the seller wouldn't even believe you, you know. But if it actually changed already, he's just not aware of it. There they hold that it would be enough. Because that means that he's just not aware of the value of the item he's holding.
It's actually worth more.
It's actually worth more because the zone, it already changed. It already changed, it already passed. It's publicly, and therefore the value is really more. Be'etzem in the market, for anyone that, and it's information that's out there. And therefore, when somebody, this gets into the sugi of Tagar, okay? But basically, if someone is underselling an item, there's oina that way also. That's what we've been saying, right? Oina is not just about, oina is not just one way. Oina is not just if the seller rips off the buyer, but the buyers take advantage of a naive seller, then there's oina. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein does say that you don't have to assume he doesn't know. In other words, you're not mechuyev to go and start giving a fahara to your seller, like, hey, what do you know? You're allowed to assume he knows and he's selling it at the right price, and that's that. It's just that if you know that he's making a mistake, that's when the problem is. Okay? So Ramosha says you can assume a seller knows what his items are. He's selling them knowing what he's selling, and that's okay. But if he doesn't know, it came up in the conversation that he doesn't know, and it's already been changed, it could be you would have to tell him. So it's interesting point over there. Now, what about things which are mechubra lakarka? What about housing and stuff like that? So that's a Shulchan Aruch here. Shulchan Aruch says that anything which is attached to the karka is part of the karka. He has a shayla here, the Shulchan Aruch, schar lizroya lakarka. He bought it to plant in the karka. So he's selling him like the fruits of the karka. So what's that? That's a shayla. But housing is considered karka, but let's say appliances is not considered karka. That's considered metalpolin, because even though they're eventually going to become, they're going to be sold with the home eventually, and they're part of the home in some level, but they're considered metalpolin. Okay, fine. So that's the halachas of karka in a nutshell. So what did you ask? You asked about brokerage,
a service that's related to karka, a broker. Or somebody who's taking a percent says, we broke everything, whatever, 3-4%. So can he overcharge if it's karka? I mean, normally that service is limited to whatever.
Okay, so let's talk about services in general, and then we'll talk about
if the seller is overcharging the buyer, and you happen to be the realtor, and I say, oh, that's great, my commission just goes up. Now,
you're part of that now.
I'm only charging you on $800,000. He's selling to $1 million, too. I'm only charging you now.
Right, I don't want to take part in the transaction.
I'm probably not shy that the seller pays the commission.
Right.
I'm probably shy that there's a split with the buyer.
Right. It's an interesting case. But before we do that, let's talk about services in general. Is there a non-services? Right? This is, everyone wants to know that answer to that question because, you know, contractor, insurance services in general, right? Plumbers, what?
They're personal and they're harder to...
So, Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Sif. Where to go? Oh, Lamed Gimel. Hasoicher es chaveroi lasas imoi. You hire someone to work with you. Bein bekarka, bein bemetal. Regardless, ain lo ayna. There's no ayna on that type of service. Why? Let's go to the safe of the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? There's no ayna by karka. What was the next thing in the Mishnah? Avodim. It says the Shulchan Aruch Mishnah kekoyne oisil lizman va'avodim ein by ayna. So he says that a schir yoim, someone that's paid by the hour that you're buying their time, is on some level considered an eved. It's considered somehow considered an eved. It's the opposite. Eved loy v'lishmalva. So he's considered an eved. Is it avdus because you're buying the time, you're paying for their time, and therefore there's no ayna. There's no ayna by that type of service. Okay, in general. So if someone's charging you by the hour, now again, Ramban would kick in. It could be would be usher, but there would be no claim of ayna. But there's technically no ayna by services. However, it's not so posh usually, because usually the services is not just for that. There's parts and there's labor. They divide it up. The part, a lot of times it's not clear exactly what's what. But more than that is that that's only true by schir yoim, someone that you pay for the time. But someone that's a kablon, which you pay them for the job, would not be considered an eved. And a kablon, there would be ayna. That's the Shulchan Aruch over here. A kablon yesh lo ayna. Ketzad. So there's oyna on a kabbalah. So now, what about a kabbalah on what? A broker's probably a kabbalah. Because the way you evaluate their fee is a set fee. So there should be ayna on that, but it's nothing to do with the karka. So it's only if he charges a greater fee than what's going rate. The fact that the seller is selling it for more, I don't think would affect his brokerage. But if he's charging 7% as opposed to 3%, I mean.
But maybe there shouldn't be ayna on that because it's like karka, and people are my vote by karka. They don't mind if the price is more. You know, it's very specific. I tell the broker, I said, look, I want you to find me that special piece of property. I'll pay 10%. It's more than the market rate, but I'm willing to do it because I'm willing to overpay it. Or the seller, same thing with the seller. He needs a buyer. He says, look, I'll pay you.
So if it's exactly cost of, then it wouldn't apply to this. You're saying if it's a Svara, if you're going with the Svara concept, would the Svara concept apply when it applies equally to the broker, basically, who's getting you the karka? I didn't see that brought down. It's an interesting point. Right? It's an interesting point. You hear what I'm saying? If it's against the cost of the wood, it's only on the car itself.
It's part of the transaction of the car.
No, but it's separate. Yeah, but it's a separate point. Right, see, in that case, everybody knows what the rate is. Everyone knows it's 3%, 6%, whatever it is, right? I don't know what it is, but everyone knows what it is. Right? Yeah, so right. You're basically telling him, look, I know that the rate is this, but I'll pay 10%. What?
Yeah, okay, it's spoken out, of course, but if something's not spoken out, it's not a cost of the transaction.
I don't think you would have that on that. Stop saying.
like a condominium, there are tons of them for sale, and they're all the same. So they say, you know what, I'll do it for 5%. Say, no, I want to pay you 7%. Why do you want to pay me 7%? Because all the units are the same. I want you to show mine first. So you're paying more, but you're doing it because you want to get, you know, you want the broker to sell your unit above all those other
5%. Right, so you know exactly. That's not enough. Everything's being spoken out in that case. See, these things, these regulated things where there's clear rate and you're coming to say, despite that, I'm paying this. So when it's clear, remember, we already spoke out a few times. I mean, no, it has a lot more to do with that. You're trying to fool the person. Deceiving, right? You're deceiving the person. When it's all spoken out, look, everyone knows the rate is 5-6%. I'm paying 7-8% because I want to get a better service. That's fine. It's being spoken out. What I was saying before was sometimes people think it's obvious, but yet when you tell them, fine, so speak it out. No, I don't want to speak it out. I thought it's obvious. Right? Why are you afraid of disclosing it? No, he knows it anyway. Why should I disclose it for him? Right? So all of a sudden, you know, that's what we were talking about. That's where it gets a little more sticky. So that's the difference between avodim. Okay, so that's this halacha.
That's one question. Remember you said that there is only now by karka if it's double the amount.
Yeah.
And what if there are two types of appraisals that are drastic, they're very far apart. Like there's a one that's based on income and one that's based on some future development value. So which one do you go with?
Maybe not, because maybe my value, the seller's value, I could find another buyer that's willing to pay the higher value because as a developer is worth more. So you don't want to buy it as that? That doesn't take away my value. Probably we usually go with the upper end of the rate, and then you have to go 16 or double above that. That's what we came out last time. That you have a right to go with the upper end of the rate.
Is there such a thing as reverse or not? That somebody's undercutting the market because he wants to. He's charging less because he wants to close down his competition.
Well, we spoke about that actually in unfair competition. If you're allowed to do that. Are you allowed to specifically do that? I think there we said if you're still making money, you could do it. But if really you're also losing money, and it's really not a price that exists, it's just you're doing it only to close down the competition. It could be not so posh that you could do that. Okay, just one more thing. The Mishnah said another thing. It said avodim. There's no avodim karka, and then it said shtaris. So what does it mean to sell a shtar? So the Gemara says, because it's ain b'hem mamish. There's no real value to the shtar. The Ketzos says, if you sell the actual debt, there is value. If you sell the shtar just represents something else. Okay? So basically, things which are not mamishly, intrinsically valuable, it could be the Zoyinah. So in our economic reality, there's a lot of things like that. That it's kind of just, they don't really exist. It's just rights to what? Right.
Debts don't exist.
I didn't say debts. I said rights. Rights to something, or
the right to collect the debt is not a double shift.
No, if you sell, what are you selling? You're selling the actual debt. If you sell the debt, then that's.
I need cash, so I'm willing.
Selling the debt is, but receivables and stuff like that. If you sell that, that's probably that. I don't know. Does that go into this thing of Starks?
That's not what we're talking. We're talking about Star, the paper itself.
No. I'm saying if you sell the shtar, people sell, that's one big business. They sell the receivables, right? They need the cash now, correct?
They sell and they say, look, you know, if everybody paid, you got $100,000, but I'm not getting paid, so I'll sell to you for 10 cents on the dollar and you collect it. Yeah,
it's
right. So That's my point. I don't know. I'm just speaking it out with Zaylam. Like, it's interesting. Halacha. And we were saying that there's no I know by shtaris. Shtaris means the right to collect, right? I'm giving you the ability to collect my debt. So people, there's no I know. You could sell it for, you could buy it for a lot less. Usually probably the I know is going to be on the seller here. That the seller is getting I know because he has a debt to collect, like you said. He has his receivables of 100,000. He's going to sell to the other guy for, you know, much less. Right. Well, what about, like you said, you have futures in something. You have the futures. So what is that? Is that you have a real rights to something? Is that aimed by mamish? You know, a real ownership in real ownership in something is one thing. I can own a table, but ownership in a lot of the things, stock. Yep. What do you really own when you have stocks in something? So really what you're saying is I have the right to get a certain amount of kefi, what the company makes. Is that yesh b'mamish or is that ain't b'mamish? Staris is also part of the Zeus HaKosov. The Gemara says ain't b'mamish. It says, Dover ha'nitl miyad liyad, yotzu avodim v'shtaris, yotzu av akarka, she'en ha'metalat, and yotzu avodim shukshaka, yotzu staris, t'ksiv v'chisim kur mamkar, she'gufay mamay, v'gufay kanoi, yotzu staris, she'en gufan mochar, v'en gufay kanoi. So, yeah, because that's garmi and all that. I know there's value there, but Gemara is saying that the ino is subject to something that has real sale. I have it, you take it. I don't know what this is.
You know, stocks is representative
of
the money you can make.
Well,
that is it's become currency. Yes,
it's currency. Is it? I mean, it's really well.
But his currency also
Dabar Shani Bamash.
His currency
also Dabar Shani Bamash. It really depends how you learn part of this, you know, stocks. We discussed it before Pesach, Gabi Chametz and all this. Do you really have ownership in the company? Or do you? Or does the company mishabed themselves to give you profits kifi the amount of money that they make? It's like a way of their shiba to you, or something like that. It's not real ownership in the company. Voting rights, not voting rights,
right,
that whole thing.
Minority, so it's not ownership.
So it could be the Darshan Bar Mamish. Yeah, he paskins here. Who does he bring it from? He paskins from the Pesach Choshen that there's no non stocks. It's considered Darshan Bar Mamon. Got me this. So
purchasing those.
Notes of stars, that's mamish stars. That's the Mishnah. If that's not stars, what is?
But I'm saying that you know, right then, you don't know what the outcome is going to be, whether or not you're going to collect on it or not. And that's issue of stars. Stocks also.
So you're saying that receivables is a whole different thing. Receivables, the reason why. Receivables, the reason why the person is willing to sell it for cheaper is goofy because. He knows he may not receive all, he may not get all of it, so he's taking a risk factor involved.
That's separate. There's value here, but it's there's a cost of saying that it has to be differentiated by mom.
Right, so there's no
still
enough.
Not, still
right. Right. He's saying, even if you would have had it, you know, it could be that would be the value. You're not really doing, just because you're buying $100,000 of receivables for $50,000. Maybe there's no enough on that anyway.
The note is worth $50,000.
But I don't think so. It's not. It's probably worth more than the guy's desk, right?
Even if you know you're going to get the receivables, you want the money now, and that 30, 60, 90, 2 years down.
You want the money now, but if you didn't need the money now, you'd rather hold on to your receivables and get more money later.
There's a market rate for that discount. There's a market for the discount. Yeah, depending on the credit of the.
Yeah, and it's a little, it is regulated to some degree. Some very, very little degree, but it is regulated to some degree that business. So, you know, whatever. And usually when we read that Mishnah, I'm just saying what I found interesting, we read the Mishnah. And you read the Mishnah, it says, Eil Dom She'elam Avodim Ishtaris. Okay, I'm sorry, Avodim, Ishtaris, and Karka. So Karka, we know what it is. Avodim is not Nagia nowadays, Ishtaris is not Nagia nowadays. So it's very Nagia, the Mishnah comes out. Karka is obviously Nagia. Avodim is Poilim, a worker. You know, what we're saying in shtaris is all these things that in Bavim Mamish could be that they'll have this limitation. I don't know, there wouldn't be a claim on it. So, okay, now what we still have to, by the way, again, like in speaking out the last couple of weeks, all this is only talking about that the difference in value is because it's just it's just because you're overpricing or underpaying. But if there's a mum in it, like we've been talking, right? If there's a mum in the reason why the value of the karka is not what you said it is, it's not because it's just you're overcharging or undercharging. It's because it's a problem with the karka. So the reason why it's worth less than what you charged me, not because you overpaid the market. You're on the target for the market price, but the problem is your property is not worth it because there's a problem with the property. There's a problem with the apartment. There's a problem with it. So that avada, you have a taina, even on karka. Mekach tois will exist on karka as well. And then we're going to get to, we're learning now all the halachos of Aina. There's a whole nother section, which is going to be the halachos of mum in the mekach, when there's a real problem that we're going to get to, but I'm just, Gillian Marshaw speaks that out over here. Now let's not get carried away with this concept. It's only I know when you're dealing with the value, change in value. When you're dealing with a mum, that you will have by karka as well. So, and I know itself, there's still a few sugis we have to talk about. We have to talk about tagar, you know, merchant, how much do you have to, and then we have to talk about also how long is your claim on the Aina. You waited a year later or whatever. And what happens if you did Aina, and in the meanwhile, the price taka changed, and now it's worth it. So do you get the claim or don't you have a claim? So we'll talk about those cases.
Yeah, interesting.
Not so.
No, not yet.
Thank you.